church. Hope you all are glad to be here. Beautiful day outside today. Thank God for that. If you take your blue hymnbook, we'll start off with page number 418. Page 418, if you're able to stand. Page 418, Faith is the Victory.
Thank you.
thought I had it. I thought I put it in my folder. So Sunday morning, Lord willing, unless I can find it here. Yep, I do have it. I'm not losing my brain. So we have the final church directory done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it over here this evening. I'm going to leave it through Sunday as well. Just one final look through it. If you notice anything that's wrong, you can write it down on this sheet of paper. I think everything's correct from everything that everybody's given us. So just one last look at it before we print them out and hand them out to everybody. I'll leave that over there. You can just check that tonight. And again, I'll leave it there through Sunday. For those that aren't here this evening, just look at it before we do a final printing on that. The books came in too that I ordered and somebody donated to get us the whole church a book if you want one. So there's 25 of them sitting back over there on that back table. So if you'd like to grab one, it's only about 13 pages long. With that, 15 pages, excellent. Excellent. Why do I react all the time and what to do about it? Very, very good. I talked to Dr. Coomer this week. Wonderful man. First time ever talking to him on the phone. He's got a good ministry going, Hope Biblical Counseling, out of Arkansas and out of Montana as well. Very good man. Lord willing, he'll be with us in December for a whole Sunday. Looking forward to meeting him. But if you'd like one of these books, like I said, somebody donated for us to get one. For everybody that requested one, or sitting back there, feel free to grab one. I think that's all I got. Before we go forward, I want to read this prayer letter that I got from Robin and Hannah Reno down there in Brazil. It says, "Dear praying friends, thank you for praying for us. Hannah was able to spend most of 2 weeks in the States with our parents. Robin was kept home. Robin kept the home fires burning with help, and now Hannah is back with Sophie. We are looking forward to opportunities we will have as Sophia does an ESL internship with us over the next 10 days. We were thrilled to have three mothers meeting up for Mother's Day Sunday school in Jawtai. We also had several visitors in Salinas that evening. Please pray for these precious souls as we work to follow up on these contacts. Pastor Soares, Pastor Daniel and Avalado are working together to do Zoom meetings with the couples in Salinas every 2 weeks. We are so thankful for this opportunity for the couples to strengthen their relationship and have fellowship together. Pastor Santana came to Jawtai and together with couples from Kapanema held a couples meeting. We only had one couple from the village come that night, but it was a good time for encouragement for them. Please pray for Indio's salvation and for Lord to add to the group. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel as we go in contact with new people through Sophia's English activities. She will be returning to the States on June 16th. Will be our send-off for John and family as they leave the work in Salinas and focus on the village of Big Yard, Liberty, and San Luis. Pray for them as well as the church plant in Salinas as we work through this change, loving him, Robin, and Hannah Reno. So keep them in prayer and work that they have going on down in Brazil. And also, I made a prayer request probably about a month ago for Brother Alan McFall. He's a missionary over there in Kyrgyzstan. Thank the Lord he got back over there on Tuesday evening. So they're ahead of us now. But thank the Lord everything worked out. His plane flights got worked out. His leg held up all the way flying back to Kyrgyzstan. So he's back over there at that orphanage. Please keep him in prayer and his wife as they try to get their visas worked out for long term. So the government will only give them a 90-day visa. So pray that they'll get what they need to be able to stay back in the country like they were before. So just keep that word in prayer. Anybody else have any prayer requests to me?
Pastor Reddy.
Yes. Keep Pastor Reddy in prayer and his wife and then also his daughter. She's having some complications, I believe, from COVID. And it wasn't their youngest.
She's pregnant.
Or pregnant.
Keep
the 6-year-old granddaughter in prayer and also her. She's pregnant. That God, something's going on in some of these other countries with this COVID thing. I think I mentioned Sunday, a missionary down in Paraguay, Brother Manny Rodriguez, you all had through here before. He now pastors down in Beaufort. And I was listening to him the other day. He mentioned Brother Jesus Lopez. I don't know if he's a brother taking over the church down there in Paraguay where Manny was a missionary. But Manny said pray for him because he just lost his wife out of nowhere. She got COVID and was gone. She wasn't that old. So he's got an 8-year-old son. So if you can keep the Lopez family in prayer along with Pastor Reddy, his wife, his daughter, and her pregnancy, keep these individuals in prayer, please. And then Frank Hallam, good friend of ours, it's her dad. He lives in Arizona. He comes down with COVID and he's also in the hospital. They found out he got his leg caught on a hook in his garage. And I don't know how what happened, but he had to have 44 stitches in it. So I don't know what he did, but he did something caught. When he went in the hospital, he got sick from an infection, and now he's got COVID, so he's not doing too well. So keep him in prayer if you don't mind. Does anybody have anything else?
Just a funeral on Saturday for my family.
Keep Sister Kathy in prayer, her mom, and Adam, the loss of her son, her brother, and uncle. Funeral will be Saturday, 12, down in Kutztown. So just keep that whole situation in prayer. Keep lost loved ones in prayer. Lord, we'll be able to do a message for her. Just pray that God will bless his word, just deal with those that are there. Does anybody have anything else?
I'm going to follow down the street.
Yes, thank you, brother. Thank you. So Monday morning I wake up, I'm talking to a few people on the phone, and then I get another phone call from the church's phone number. Sometimes I don't answer because I get a lot of spam calls from it, but if it says a person's name, usually I'll answer. So I had a lot going on, but I decided to answer it, and it was a young man. He said, "You have a church right now?" I said, "No, we're not having church right now, Monday morning." But he said, "I need to meet with you." I said, "Okay." I said, he's like, right now. I said, "All right." So I came over here at 11:30. He lives right down the street down here. Right now, I believe he's living out of his car. But he said he was listening to some music, and God just convicted his heart that he needs to get church. And so he had a friend years back that he used to do a Bible study with that said, "If you ever want to try to get a hold of God and the truth, you need to go to a Baptist church." So he said he's putting his phone nearest Baptist church. Well, here we go. We're the nearest one. So he showed up over here. I had a good talk with him for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And so, Lord willing, he's supposed to be coming out Sunday. His name's Jonathan. Pray for him. He's got a lot going on, but he seemed pretty sincere and wanting to get right with God. You know, I just throw this out here because of the questionnaire we had for the pastor Tanner thing. So get this. So he's sitting there and he goes, "What do you think about Catholic Church and you know different holidays and things like that?" I said, "Christmas." He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, so church doesn't do Christmas as a whole. Now there's individuals in the church that do Christmas." I said, "Well, as a whole as a church, we don't." He's like, "Well, thank you for finally telling me the truth that it's not about Jesus, but it's about, you know, that Jesus," because he had questions about when Jesus was born. He just said, "Thank you for being honest about it." He said, "You're the first preacher to finally be honest with it. But I never would have thought that a 25-year-old man would have asked a question like that." But he asked a question like that, and he gave the answer that the church has. And so it was just a really good talk. So just pray for Jonathan that God will continue to deal with him. I told him he needs to be in church. So Lord willing, he'll be here Sunday morning. He can't come on Wednesday nights because he's got a new job. So just keep him in prayer. Does anybody else have anything else before we go forward with our next song?
Just a lady that came to help me deal with my brother's house, Alex, her name is, and I gave her a Bible tract if you could just pray tonight for Alex.
Definitely. So keep Alex in prayer. Alright, we're going to do one more song before we go into the preaching here. Let's take your blue hymnal again if you're able to stand, page 426. Page number 426, Dwelling in Beulah Land, page number 426.
Now Bibles this evening. We're going to continue our study here in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Last week we kind of went over how it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, how it says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. And we looked at some of the prophecies that were talked about, the Messiah and his coming and the things that he would suffer. And kind of want to pick up along those lines again tonight as we go forward here in the book of 2 Peter. But I'll read verse number 19 here in chapter 1. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your long suffering. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can gather again this evening. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, Lord God, to receive something out of your word tonight that would help us just to draw closer to you. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation." Again, I believe what he's talking about here, where he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed." I believe he's talking about the scriptures, okay, the word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at one last prophetic reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Found in Isaiah chapter number 6. And it's kind of going to go along with the rest of the message here this evening. Just some things to think about. A light that shines in a dark place. Not only do I believe that that's Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world, capital L-I-G-H-T, is found in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, you'll find a reference of light. And there's a capital L-I-G-H-T, and that's Jesus Christ, and then a lowercase L-I-G-H-T. And I believe that can be our witness, Jesus Christ living through us. And it could also be the Word of God, because the Word of God is referred to as light as well. But look here at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 9. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 6 and look back at verse number 5. Okay, the Lord's appearing to Isaiah here, and he just hears the angels, the cherubims crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," in verse number 3. But look what Isaiah says in verse number 5. "Then said I," this is Isaiah talking, he says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." So Isaiah has this vision that God's given him. He sees seraphims there in verse number 2 as they flew there and they had 6 wings and they covered themselves and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah's reaction says, "Woe is me. I have unclean lips and I live amongst a nation of unclean lips." He immediately, in the presence of God, notices immediately that he's unclean, he's undone, and he cries out that he's unclean. So these seraphims take this coal off from the altar, they put it on his lip and say, now your lips are clean. But I want you to look at verse number 8, what it says. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah kind of raises his hand. He says, then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah says back to the Lord, I'll go. But look what the message is in verse number 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. It's almost as if the Lord is sending Isaiah with this word of a deception to the people. That hearing that they might not hear, seeing that they might not see. Why? God gives you the answer why God's doing this. He says, because this people's heart is fat. Their ears are heavy. Their eyes have they shut. Why? Because they don't desire to hear the word of God. Now I'm going to get to something that's even back to 2 Peter, what we're looking at. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which I believe is the scriptures. But my message this evening is don't turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to what God may be trying to show you in your life, even if it's unpleasant. You see, if God shows us something unpleasant in our life, it's not a matter of it being that God's just doing it because he's angry at you and he's just an angry God that just wants to show you how wicked you are. No, as a saved individual, we have to look at it in this sense that if God does reprove us or if God gives us reproof, it's because he wants us to be better. He wants us to grow closer to him, and that's why he's allowing what we might look at as something negative. Look, I don't like to be reproved. Who likes to be reproved? Who likes to be corrected and told that they're wrong? There's not one individual I think in here would say, yes, preacher, I like to be corrected. I just absolutely love it when someone tries to correct me. No, if you're honest, at least if you're honest, maybe you're a better person than I am. You probably are. If somebody tries to start correcting me, my flesh automatically says, it doesn't like it. I don't like to be corrected. But if I have the attitude of not being corrected, I'm kind of saying that I know and have everything right, which is kind of arrogant in and of itself as well. So God here is at the point with Isaiah saying, listen, Isaiah, he says, who will go? Isaiah says, here am I, I'll go. What's my message, Lord? Talk to them to where their eyes be closed, their ears be shut. Why? I don't want them hearing unless they're converted and their hearts changed. God's at the point with the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah saying, I'm done with them. I keep trying to reach out to them and keep trying to get a hold of them, and they keep denying me trying to help them out. Look over at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and look at verse number 1. Look what Isaiah 53, 1 says. Prophetic, the whole chapter towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Look what the first verse says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 53 and look at verse 1. Look what it says. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's going to believe the report? Now, in Romans, it talks about the feet of those that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? That's what I'm trying to do this evening, is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But who's going to hear the report? Not the report of Chris Welton. The report that God's trying to teach and show you tonight. Now listen, as we go forward in 2 Peter, I want you to understand this from my point of view. And I've said this before this church, and I believe with all my heart, I believe with all my soul, I believe it as sure as I'm standing here. I believe everybody that's in this room, if you're saved and you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, I believe you can get all you need in your Christian walk between you, God, and his word. Do you understand me? As sure as I'm standing here, I believe everybody in this room that's saved, if you claim to be saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. Who teaches us? Who guides us? Who helps us daily? the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? So I believe you got the Bible, you got the Spirit of God, and let's say all of a sudden now you're by yourself for the next 10 years, but you got your Bible, you're saved. I believe you can. I believe that God will give you what you need for your life. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. God set up pastors and teachers and those that try to help bring us along in the things of the Scriptures. But you as well ought to be able to get along with God and get something from the Scriptures. If you come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about," then we're going to have to do a Bible study on making sure that you know God. You ought to be able to get alone, open this book up, pray to God, say, "God, help me, open my eyes, that maybe I'll behold wonderful things out of your law. God, help me to get something out of this, get something out of your word today that's going to help me love you more and draw closer to you." And His Spirit ought to bear witness with your spirit. And there ought to be times where things you just say, "Wow, Lord, thank you." Do you see what I'm saying? There's times where I open my Bible and like God gives me a verse that I had read over 100 times before, but I'm going through something specific in my life, and now all of a sudden that verse jumps out. It's like, "Wow, yeah, thank you, Lord. That I needed that." I told my wife, "I got a verse Monday. I read through a proverb a day. Whatever the day is, I read that proverb. I try to read 5 Psalms a day. That's just part of it. I try to go through Proverbs every month. I'm reading my proverb from Monday, and I'm telling you, one verse jumped out. I said, exactly what I needed for some things that were going on. I said, "Thank you, Lord." I even told my wife, I said, "Look at this right here." I did, bam. And I had read over that verse numerous times. I don't know how many times I've read through Proverbs. And I've read the verse before, but this time, Holy Spirit says, "Here you go. Here's something for you." So, who has believed our report? Now look at Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 2. This thought this evening of we have a more sure word of prophecy that you take heed, okay? Look at Isaiah chapter 65 and look at verse number 2. Well, look at verse 1. Isaiah 65 verse 1. You're going to see the same type of thing that he's been dealing with through the whole book of Isaiah, what we read in chapter 6, chapter 53. Now look back at chapter 65 and look at verse number 1. Isaiah 65, 1, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name." Look at verse 2. "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in the gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick." And he goes on talking about the children of Israel and the wicked things that they're doing, supposedly they think behind God's back. And God says, "Listen, I'm going to go out to a nation that's not called by my name." But you see here the principle of, again, the nation of Israel rejecting the words of God. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 13. Now, Jesus quotes what I read earlier in Isaiah chapter number 6. Now look at Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse number 9. Matthew 13 and look at verse number 9. Look what Jesus says here. He just gets done telling them a parable. All right? He's kind of talking to them in a sense that their eyes that they don't see and their ears that they don't hear. But look what Jesus says, Matthew 13, verse 9. Look what Jesus says. He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables." Why, Lord? Why? He gives you the answer. "Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, 'By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Why? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. These individuals have closed their ears. They've closed their eyes to what the Lord is truly trying to get them a hold of. Get them to get a hold of. You saw a picture of this in John chapter 6 when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He goes back across the sea over to the other side. They come running around the lake over to the other side. And as soon as they meet him, Jesus says, the only reason, I'm kind of paraphrasing, Jesus says, the only reason you're coming over here is because your bellies were full. And you'll notice in that same story, he just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And all of a sudden they're asking him a question of, what sign show us this? What sign are you going to show us? I said this before this church. Sometimes I read my Bible and I'm thinking, it's because they don't want to see and they don't want to hear who truly Jesus is. They're just wanting him because of some benefit that they might get from him. They don't want him to change their life. And a lot of people go to church, and the only reason they go to church is for the benefits that come with going to church. They have no desire drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. My desire for this church this evening is for every one of us in here that's saved. Your desire ought to be each day that God allows you to live is a day to draw closer to him and your walk with him. Why? Because you ought to love him. I love Jesus tonight. I love my Savior. That's why I'm here. I'm not here because I'm just checking off my ticket that I'm going to church this week and God's going to be proud of me because his son went to church today. No, I'm here because I want to be here because I love him. And I want to love him more. That's why I got saved. You know, sometimes we have a discussion, and this week, Sunday morning, somewhere here when they heard it, that remembers this question of repentance, and I got thinking about it even more. Salvation is, I just want to love Jesus for loving me. That's it. That's what it was for me. When I finally realized what I was before God, a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of glory. When I realized my sin, but yet there was somebody that loved me and was willing to forgive me of that sin, that he was willing to die and go to that cross and be buried. I mean, that God was willing to do all that he did for me through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to love him. I want to love him. How can I not love him? How can I not love him, the one that loves me, I deserve no love from God. Brethren, I deserve no love from God this evening. None. But yet he's long-suffering and he's merciful and he's willing to love me. I love him because he first loved me. So Jesus says here, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes, they don't want to see what? They don't want to see what's contained in the scriptures of who Jesus Christ really is. Take your Bible again and look back now at 2 Peter chapter number 1. Okay? So he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that ye take heed. He says, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, I believe this is, he's talking to and he's referring to the scriptures. Okay? The first thing about the scriptures or the word of God is that it's pure and that it's holy. Look at Psalm chapter number 12 and verse number 6. Psalm 12, verse number 6, familiar portion of scripture. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. God's word is pure. Look what it says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God will preserve his words to his people, not only the children of Israel, but to his church, God says he'll preserve them from this generation forever because they're pure. They're pure words. Look over at Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Look what it says again. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What does it do? It making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Look what it does, enlightening the eyes. Now, I'm going to get to it again later on. But that last part there, in the middle part of 2 Peter 1 says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now listen, when I believe this now, and I'm going to show you some other verses on it. I've said this before, I believe this book is a flashlight. It's like a flashlight. I believe that as you read the Bible, it's not only reading you, but it's light. God's word is shining into your soul to give you what you need from his word. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness to it. It's a light. It says here, it says, it enlightening, it says the commandment of the Lord is pure. Well, what does the commandment do? It enlightens the eyes. What do you think? When we hold those scripture signs up and somebody reads those Bible verses, I'm hoping that God will bear witness to that and deal with them about their eternal state. Not, I don't want to hold up a sign that gives my opinion. My opinion will do nothing for somebody. But I believe holding up the Word of God will hopefully do something for somebody. My opinion doesn't matter. What does God say through his word? Because it will enlighten the eyes. Look what he says in verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I love verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, I don't know how many times all y'all here have read through your Bibles, but to me, it's never gotten old. Some of you shaking your head, you're right there with me. It's never gotten old. Explain that for a second. Explain it. Some of you have been reading your Bible for years. And you try to, I think some of you, you read it every day. But yet it's like fresh bread every morning and every day that you wake up and you go to it. Explain that to me. Explain how you can open up your King James Bible every day and you don't get to a point at some point in your Christian walk after 20, 30 years and you're like, yeah, I've just had it. I got it now. I know it. I've read through this book many times. It's just good. I'm done with it. Let me move on to something else now. I hope nobody in here has said that. I hope not. But if you're like me, I keep wanting to jump into it and jump into it and jump into it. And at no point I've ever been like, this thing's old now. I got it all together. But there's been other books that I've read. A couple of them I've read two or three times. But I don't think there's any other book besides the Bible that I've read more than three times. Why? Because I know it. I know the story. I know what it says. But yet the Word of God, more to be desired than gold. We have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than if all of a sudden some entity from the spiritual realm that appeared like an angel shot down here and started talking to us, I would trust my Bible more than that spiritual entity that I saw that's speaking to me. Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. I don't need some angel to come talk to me tonight. I don't need a vision from God tonight to help me to know how to live my life tomorrow. I have the Bible. This is my direction. This is my guide. This is my foundation. This is my authority. Brethren, if this is not my authority, what do we have to go off of? Your opinion versus my opinion versus your opinion. No, hopefully all of us are subject to this right here, and this is our authority. And we do what we do because of what this says. Where did you learn about Jesus? Where do we get what we learn about a Jewish man that lived 2,000 years ago? From what individuals call a Bible. Right? There's no other book that I know that's out there that claims that Jesus Christ is God outside of a Bible. We get everything we believe tonight while we're sitting here because of what this book says. Not because of what some man just made up. No, because of what this book says. It's more to be desired than gold, yet in much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Look at verse 11. Look what this Bible does. We have a more sure word of prophecy whereby you do well. It says, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. Take heed to the Bible. Take heed to the word of God. Because why? Verse 11 in Psalm 19. Moreover by them. By what? God's words. Moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, look what? There is great reward. Who can understand his errors? How do we know that adultery or lying or stealing or murder is wrong tonight? That's one of the things I used to tell the kids in the juvenile center. Who says murder is wrong? Where do we get that murder is wrong? Where do we get that stealing something from somebody is wrong? I used to ask individuals that don't believe the Bible. Do you believe that? I used to ask them this. If I come across sometimes somebody that doesn't believe in God, that they're atheists or whatever, I say, do you believe stealing is wrong? Well, yeah. Well, says who? Well, it's just wrong. It's socially unacceptable. Who are you to say that it's wrong and socially unacceptable? What if I think it's socially acceptable? What if I think that stealing is good and right? Who are you? What's your opinion different or better than my opinion? Do you see what happens when you reject God's word and you throw his commandments and everything off to the side? It's your opinion versus my opinion, and the person who has the most money and power gets to make the rules. That's what it comes down to. Who's to say that murder's wrong? What if I don't like you? Who says it's wrong if I don't like you and I have the ability to just take you away? Who says it's wrong? Well, I say it's wrong. It's not socially acceptable. Who are you? Are you an elitist? See, society doesn't want to take it that far. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. They want the principles and the morals that come from the Word of God, but they don't want the God that gives it. God said it's wrong to commit murder. God said it's wrong to steal. God said it's wrong to lie. God said it's wrong to commit adultery. God gave the Ten Commandments, and God says these things are wrong, and that's why we don't do them. Not because of somebody says that they're wrong. Not because society says I'm wrong, but because God says it's wrong. It's our final authority. Look at verse 13, David says here about God's word. Or verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That's what the word of God will do. You have a more sure word of prophecy that will help you in these dark times that we're living in, and that will hopefully cleanse you from secret faults. Look what David says in verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Look what he says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How are your words acceptable to God in his sight? The words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. You want to stay clean? Wash yourself in the word daily. Hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Stay in the Bible. It is our more sure word of prophecy. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 6. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse number 6. Verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. I'm sorry. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Be careful what we say, and make sure if we do say anything to anybody that it's in line with the scriptures. I don't want to mess with the Bible. I don't want to mess with God's words. That's out of my realm there. I'm not touching it. Because the Lord's very serious about, well, I've said it before here. You don't mess around with the words of a judge. I was watching a documentary the other day about, you know, prisons and prison reform and things like that, especially when it deals with kids. And you know, they had some court scenes in there. You don't even watching. I mean, it was this documentary, it was like 6 years old, and these kids and individuals going before a judge. And even then, I'm taking it serious, and I'm not even in there. There's just something about going in a courtroom where there's a judge presiding. There's just something about it. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you go into a courtroom and there's a judge presiding, especially if it's something serious. You don't go in there blaring your cell phone and talking loud and, hey, how you'll be held in contempt of court real quick. That's an earthly judge. Heavenly judge? Or our heavenly judge up there in heaven? Mm-mm. That's why I take God's word so serious, because you don't mess with the words of a judge here on this planet. I'm not messing with what God said. He said it, I believe it, I trust it, and I'm going forward with God. Now, one thing that we can be certain, I'm going to close with this here this evening, about the word of God. It says we have a more sure word of prophecy. God's word is sure for us tonight. And you can trust it. Take your Bible, look at 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings, and look at chapter number 8 and verse number 54. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 54. God's word is sure. The scriptures, the word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8 and look at verse number 54. Okay? Solomon talking here, and he says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Now, I don't mean to talk about this tonight, but look at this posture that Solomon has before the temple as he's praying to God. Prayer is serious with the Lord. Prayer is very serious. God takes it serious. And you see this principle here of why people sometimes when they pray, they kneel down. It was found here with Solomon. Not only does Solomon kneel down as he prays before God, but the Bible says he lifts up his hands to the Lord. When you lift up your hands in prayer, it's a sign of submission to God. Okay? Anytime you lift your hands, it's a sign of submission, usually. Okay, most instances. You're doing something with somebody and you're starting to get a little agitated. Some people will be like this, whoa, 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 it's all's good. Calm down. Don't people do that? If somebody's getting in a fight or something, and all of a sudden you're trying to break it up, you're like, you put your hands up, whoa, whoa, easy, and you point it to each and just break it up, hold it. It's trying to bring a peace to the incident, to the situation. You raise your hands to God, there's just something about it. Now, some believe differently on it, but I'm going to ask you something. You try in your private time, in your private closet, when you pray. I ain't saying you got to do it the whole time you're praying. But just for a couple moments, just raise your hands to God. Just you by yourself. Nobody around. And watch how hard it is to do it. Watch how hard it is. I'm talking, get alone in some private place in your home where nobody's around. Shut the door. And just start praying. And then think about I'm not saying long. Maybe 5 seconds. Just say, Lord, thank you for this day. And you watch how hard it is to do that. You watch that enemy come in your mind and say, look at you, you fool. You look like an idiot. How dumb are you? You raise. You watch. I'm telling you. And ain't nobody watching you. You in the dark. Turn the lights off too if you want to. Shut all the blinds. Make sure nobody sees you. The enemy sees it. And there's something to it. I'm telling you there's something to it. Because look what's, this is Solomon. This man ain't even born again yet. He's blessed in the temple, which temple we are right now. The Bible says, and he stood in verse 55, because he was on his knees. He stood and he blessed the congregation of Israel with a loud voice saying, look what he says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. Look what he says. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave nor forsake us. We don't have to worry about that today, brethren. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And there's promises that we can trust because not one of his words is going to fail us. You can trust God tonight. You can trust God with what you're going through, what's on your heart, what's in your mind that nobody knows about but you and God. And you can trust that God knows it, God sees it, God hears you, and God cares for you tonight. You can rest on that. You can rest that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, no matter what you do or what you go through. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. You can rest upon that promise tonight because the Bible says we can rest upon it. And that's what Solomon's telling his people there in Israel. Verse 58. He'll never forsake us. It says in verse 57. And then he goes into verse 58. Why? That he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Solomon's telling his people, he's telling the children of Israel, listen, God's words, God's promises that he gave to us through our fathers and Moses, you can rest upon the promises, the children of Israel that God gave you, you can rest upon it. And now, some thousands of years later on, in the year 2021, a group of believers who are gathered together because they've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we can do the same and we have more than what Solomon had that he was given to the children of Israel. We can rest, we can stand fast, we can place our hope and trust in what God says. And as your preacher, I believe you can find it right here. God will give you what you need and you can rest upon that. I'm resting upon it tonight. I'm resting upon it. I'm resting upon the fact of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that someday he's coming back. How do I know that? Because this tells me it. It says it. I believe it. Rest on it. Don't lose hope. It's a hard thing to do, you know. I don't know about you, but I know for me. The time where you're discouraged, you're going through stuff, the last thing, at least for me sometimes, it seems like the last thing I want to do is go over and pick up my Bible and start reading it. I kind of always want to work it out in my brain, and let's figure it out in my brain how I can make this situation work that's caused me issues or troubles or a trial. Instead of setting my thoughts and my conceits and my ideas off to the side and say, you know what, let me just get in the Bible and see if God will give me some help from his word. He does. The times where I do that and I get in God's word and I just start reading it and ask God for help, he does give me help. So he wants you to go to his word. It's sure. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's found in the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole counsel of God. If you get in it, you study it. I've said this before to you. I believe God will give you something out of Chronicles as you're reading the Begats. I believe it. I'm reading through Chronicles now. But if you read through Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, there's one part that talks about David and his mighty men. And you'll find there, as you're reading some portion of the Chronicles, if you're reading through the Begats, sometimes they're just one individual, one verse, and God just throws something in there, like he fought for a field of lentils. And then it goes right on. It's like, why, God, did you put in here that this man fought for a field of lentils, and then we go on through the Begats again? Why? Because that field of lentils was important to that man. It may have looked insignificant to all that was around, but to that man it was important. And he stood for it. And he was willing to fight for it. Let God speak to you through his word. Even through 1 Chronicles. He'll do it if you allow him. And if anything, if he doesn't, it'll teach you perseverance. Keep on pushing through, even through times that aren't pleasant and happy. Because a lot of times, the times aren't always up on a mountaintop. There's a lot of valleys in life. And what God needs is you to keep going through the valley until he can bring you back up onto a mountaintop again. See, how do you go through the valley? You get training by reading 1 Chronicles. God, do I have to? Yes, you have to. Just do it. I can't say the words, God. I can't say the names. Just try to say them the best you can. I'll understand. Just say them and go through it. Just plow on through it like you're plowing a field. God will bless you for that. I guarantee he'll bless you for it. He'll bless your perseverance and your steadfastness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time this evening. I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I thank you for just some time here tonight just to gather around your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my Bible. I thank you for all the precious men and women that went on before us, dear God. William Tyndale, Lord, for Lord Erasmus, Lord, for those that put together, Lord, some were saved, some weren't, but they risked their lives. Huff, Lord, Lord, others that Martin Luther, just others that, dear God, they lost their lives, dear God, because they tried to stand for truth in your word. And Lord, I thank you for those men and women that were put to the stake, or Lord, were burned to death, dear God, because they were trying to give us the scriptures in the English language. I thank you, dear God, for those that went before us, Lord, that lost their lives, that, Lord, gave all that I can have a Bible in my language, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray you'd help us not to take it for granted. Lord, I pray you'd help us to spend time in it, grow closer to you, Lord. Help us to meditate upon it. And Lord, that we would realize that we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that we need to take heed, Lord, as to a light that shines in a dark place. Lord, help your word to work in our lives, dear God, and help us to draw closer to you, to love you more, and just to stay faithful. And Lord, I ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Appreciate you. Love you. Lord willing, see you on Sunday. If you can stay for prayer, please just try to remember some of these things that we brought up. Pray for Pastor Reddy's daughter and her pregnancy and just the sicknesses she's going through. Keep Sister Kathy and her mom and Adam in prayer and just things that are heavy on them. Brother Les, I don't know if you're watching tonight, brother, but we love you. We miss you. We're praying for you and Miss Nancy. Keep fighting, brother. And Brother Glenn, if you're listening, we love you too. We miss you. Pray for Brother Glenn. Pray for his back. Pray for Brother Les and his health situation. Pray for our leaders, that they'd continue to try to, that they would do righteous things, make righteous decisions, and pray for one another, pray for the services on Sunday as well, and maybe that young man Jonathan would come out. Amen. So I love you. If you're going to leave out, Lord, we'll see you Sunday. Those that stay to pray, let's try to get a hold of God tonight. Amen.